Good evening. It's July 15th. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Today we'll talk about the bill passed by the state Senate today, which limits welfare benefits to 4 years. Also, 16,000 children in foster homes here in Michigan. We'll talk about ways to reduce that number. But first, a federal appeals court recently overturned the state ban on the use of affirmative action at public universities and institutions. It's the latest chapter in a story that spans back to the mid-1990s, when a Southgate High School graduate who was 12th in her class with a GPA of 3.8 was denied admission to the University of Michigan. Jennifer Gratz was that student. She's now the director of research and the director of state and local initiatives at the American Civil Rights Institute, and she joins me now. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thanks for having me.
Now, before we get to the details of your case, the judges deemed that Proposal 2, which you spearheaded, violates the 14th Amendment, which guarantees equal protection under the law. Shouldn't there be some safeguards in place to protect minorities and women from discriminatory admissions policies?
I think the safeguard in place is treating people equally, which is exactly what Proposal 2, the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative, set out to do. I think it's very backwards to think that you have to treat people unequally to treat them equally, which is exactly what this court decision says.
Now, there are a host of factors that are looked at when an applicant applies for a university that are non-academic based. Why should race and sex be exempt from those the multiple factors that are considered?
Well, I don't think that our government should treat anyone differently, whether that's to help or hurt them based on their race or sex. You don't have control over your race or sex, I think that universities should judge people based on their merit and their character and their experiences, not their skin color or their gender.
Now, for those who don't know your story, how did your involvement with the affirmative action debate develop after your application to the University of Michigan was rejected?
My application to the University of Michigan was rejected, and at the time I felt like there was something wrong. There were rumors in high school, not from students, but from teachers and administrators and parents, that the university had different standards for admission based on someone's skin color. During high school, I thought that was crazy. I thought that the University of Michigan couldn't be doing exactly the opposite of what I was sure that they were teaching in their classrooms, namely to treat people equally and without regard to their race. As I went through the process and initially received my waitlist letter and saw other people being accepted and then ultimately received my rejection letter, I went back to those rumors and wondered if they could be true. And it turned out that they were true. And so I filed a lawsuit in 1997 against the University of Michigan for racial discrimination in their admissions process. That lawsuit made its way through the courts, went to the U.S. Supreme Court in 2003, along with a companion case against the law school. Barb Grutter sued the law school for very, very similar reasons. And I won my case at the U.S. Supreme Court. The justices ruled 6-3 in my favor. But in that companion suit against the law school said that race could continue to be used as a factor. And also in that decision, the court pointed to states that had already eliminated race and gender preferences through ballot initiatives and other means and said all states can and should be moving in that direction. And so at that time, I felt like that decision was wrong. And I asked myself what could be done about it, and called a few key people, including Ward Connerly, and asked him to help me with a ballot initiative in Michigan, which is really a directive straight from the U.S. Supreme Court. I headed up a ballot initiative starting in late 2003 that ultimately was on the ballot in November of 2006, and the people, by a landslide, 58-42%, agreed that race should not be considered in public contracting, public employment, and public education.
Now, affirmative action not only protects or covers race, but also sex. And what about the argument that minorities and women have faced historical discrimination in this country? And the goal of increasing diversity on our public universities is a benefit to the larger student body.
Well, I think that, first of all, the initiative wasn't wasn't about affirmative action. Affirmative action means different things to different people. In fact, courts have said that the phrase affirmative action is an amorphous term. And if you go back to the original definition of affirmative action, it was to guarantee that people are treated without regard to race. And that's, I'm not paraphrasing there, that's a direct quote, treat people without regard to race. You can't argue that having different policies based on someone's race is treating them without regard to race. The language of the ballot initiative was very simple. It was the state shall not discriminate against or grant preferential treatment to any group or individual on the basis of race, sex, color, ethnicity, or national origin in three areas, public contracting, public employment, and public education. I don't deny the fact that our country has a horrible history when it comes to discrimination based on race and gender. But two wrongs don't make a right. It's time to treat everyone equally and let the chips fall where they may. And I also have to add that it's interesting that so many people bring gender into this, and we put it into language to make sure that no one was given a preference or discriminated against based on their gender. But the facts are that when it comes to college admissions, women do not benefit from any sort of preferential treatment. In fact, likely just the opposite. It was a woman who sued the University of Texas for racial discrimination in their admissions policy. It was a woman who sued the University of Washington for racial discrimination in their admissions policy. It was three women who sued the University of Georgia for racial discrimination in their admissions policy. And it was two women in Michigan that sued the University of Michigan for racial discrimination in their admissions policy. Mm-hmm. The University of Michigan does not give any boost to women, and I don't know women who would want any special boost. We want to be treated equally and judged on our merit and our character and our experiences and not our gender.
I'm talking to Jennifer Gratz. She spearheaded Proposal 2 and is now the Director of Research and Director of State and Local Initiatives at the American Civil Rights Institute. Jennifer, it's still not clear if this case will end up in the Supreme Court. Attorney General Bill Schuette is appealing the decision. Where do you see the case going from here?
I believe that the ruling will be overturned and will be overturned rather quickly, whether that's by the entire Sixth Circuit, which is where the Attorney General is initially appealing this case, or by the Supreme Court. It should be noted that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, when reviewing California's Proposition 209, the equivalent of the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative, went to the Ninth Circuit, and the Ninth Circuit was asked the exact same questions that has been asked in Michigan and ruled that Prop 209 was in line with the 14th Amendment and was not discriminatory, and that it was the people's right to decide if their state should be allowed to use preferences. And I'll add that Justice O'Connor, who wrote the majority opinion the University of Michigan cases, she was asked the day after the people of Michigan voted to end these policies what she thought of that. And she said that it was entirely within the right of the voters to make that decision. So I believe that this will be overturned quickly. You can't have courts overturning what the people want. We have a democracy in this country, and the people have spoken loudly in Michigan that they don't want their state granting preferential treatment and essentially discriminating against people based on their race or sex.
Jennifer Gratz, Director of Research and Director of State and Local Initiatives at the American Civil Rights Institute. Thank you for joining me, Jennifer.
Thanks for having me.